They were gone when DJ got up and shared what he did. Beautiful foundation for where we're going today. Now, I don't know what you think of this title up here. A citizen or a stranger in Babylon. And I don't have to give you the title of the message. That's what that is. But I wonder where you are. Ancient Babylon was very similar in many ways to the United States of America. It was the hub of technology, commerce. If there would have been any Elon Musk of that generation, he would have come from Babylon. They were very advanced. They were very intelligent people. They had science. They were mathematicians. They were very bright people. And God chose this group of people to punish his own people. We're going to be reading out of Daniel 1 today. And I don't know what the first thing that is that comes to your mind when you think of Daniel, but it's probably Daniel in the lion's den. For sure, the children. As soon as you hear about the prophet Daniel or the book of Daniel, you're probably going to think about the lion's den. And that's a good story. It's a good lesson. But that happened in chapter 6, I believe. Yes. And what impresses me the most about the book of Daniel is not chapter 6. What impresses me the most is Daniel chapter 1. That is what impresses me the most about Daniel. Because we see the destruction that took place in that time because of the sins. And we mentioned Jeremiah. I'm going to Would they mind coming in? So Daniel chapter 1, and DJ read this morning out of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah talked about the sins of the people, and he warned about what would happen if they did not repent. And God sent messenger after messenger after messenger to warn God's people, and they did not heed the warning. So we're going to read in Daniel chapter 1 and see what we can learn from this. And I would like for y'all to help me when we are done reading this chapter. I would like for you to pay attention as we read, and you can tell me some things that we know about Daniel. There is a lot of detail in this chapter about Daniel. All right, so let's begin reading Daniel 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourished them 3 years, that at that end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your face as worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. We have a good idea here of what this king was, what kind of man this was. Verse 11, then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat, or vegetables, and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, that he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. All right, I'm going to move things around just a bit here. What are some things that you see about Daniel? What are some things that we know about him based on this chapter right here? He had courage.
He had purpose in his heart that he would not defile.
Okay. Anything else? There's a lot more.
He was principled.
He was principled and young. I don't know how old, but I believe it was between 15 and 20. I kind of go with 17. Let's say he's 17. I would like, just so we have an understanding of the age of these men, if you are 15 to 20, I want you to stand. Okay. All right. It's not the old man in the lion's den that we usually think, is it? Okay. You can sit down. Thank you. This is the age that Daniel was. All right, anything else about Daniel?
No.
Okay. Okay. He was brilliant, and we could say intelligent. I can spell that. Okay. Yes. He was diplomatic. He was good with and kind of with all of this, he had a lot of tact. He knew when to speak, and he knew when not to speak. And he knew how to speak. All right, anything else? Self-controlled. Something else that we know about him is that his parents were not present. And he was possibly an orphan. We don't know exactly what happened to his parents. He could have been an orphan at this time. But one thing we do know is that he was parentless.
He was favored of God.
He was favored of God. Okay. I got room for about one more. One or two more here.
He wasn't scared to deny himself some of the more pleasurable things in life. I mean, how many of us drink water all the time and eat only vegetables?
I like
a good steak.
Okay.
For whatever reason, I think there's probably more to it than just their law forbade them to eat some of these things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He kept his connection.
Okay. All right, excellent. So those are the results based on your feedback. All right, so let's go to verse 1. So what we're going to do is very expository here today. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to go through chapter 1. I don't know how this is going to go. I was not feeling very confident this morning, and I finally just gave my notes to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you're going to have to do something with this. So I'm trusting God this morning to, I don't know where all this is going, but we're going to see what God has for us here. Okay, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, God uses a heathen king to bring upon judgment to his people. And now in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 5, it says this about Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Josiah was his father. If you remember, Josiah was probably one of the best kings. He tore down the idols and he brought back God to the land. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters or chains. This king Jehoiakim was bound in chains to carry him to Babylon. 2 Chronicles 36:14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people. Now, this is the reason for this. And this goes directly with what DJ said this morning. And if you look at world history and where nations fell and crumbled, often they repeated some of the same mistakes. If you look at Rome, if you look at Babylon, and you look at, not a prophet here, you look at the United States of America, we're not very far behind. And this is the warning, this is the reason why God allowed this heathen nation to bring down his people. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, many warnings and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. God had no pleasure in doing this. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets. until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Isn't that a sad picture? That God literally had nothing left to do because there was no remedy. So we picture the king of Judah being marched away with chains, a sign of utter defeat. Now, another lesson that we can take from this, and this applies to you young people, it applies to everyone here, but especially to you young ones. Think about, this is the picture of Judah. And yet, we have a man by the name of Daniel and his three friends. Now, I don't believe there were only four righteous people at the time this happened. But I do believe that the people that did right were very far and few between. If you wanted to do right, even amongst what should have been God's people, you were very outnumbered. You did not fit in. And yet, we see hope from a young man, Daniel, who was willing to serve the Lord. Someone taught him the fear of God. Somewhere he got it. Maybe it was a prophet. Maybe he was sitting in the synagogue when the prophets came and warned of destruction. I don't know. My guess is he had parents who also feared God. No one ever has an excuse to not serve God. Ever. You can never say that it's too hard to serve God, ever. Verse 2. Now, Daniel is writing this verse. This is showing that Daniel understood the sovereignty of God. Now, imagine Daniel. He had just gone through this horrible time. It doesn't talk about much about the journey getting from Jerusalem, the land of Judah, to Babylon. But I'm sure it was very difficult. Leaving his family, he was no longer with his siblings, he was no longer with his parents. Very, very difficult time. And yet Daniel writes, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. I don't see an attitude here of bitterness or anger towards God. Daniel acknowledges that God is the one who gave the king Jehoiakim into the king of Babylon. And what's very interesting, these same vessels that were taken from the house of God, those same vessels were the downfall of Babylon later. In Daniel 5, verse 1, it says this, Belshazzar, this was the next king after Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring what? The golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, might drink therein. And I am very certain that this was just a big mockery party here. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. Isn't this so interesting? The vessels that they were mocking, who they thought, what they thought had no value to them, none. And yet they were worshiping brass, iron, wood, and stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against a candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Here's this proud king. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose, and his knees smote against one another. Now get that picture. He was terrified. The same king who was proud of his accomplishments. What I find very interesting here, God was still working in this situation. God was not done. These kings and their power did not impress God at all. So I want us to think a little bit about Daniel coming into Babylon and what this was. And as we think of modern day Babylon today. So a few things to think about here. Daniel was part of a very close community in Jewish culture. Jewish culture, they're a very close community. This is what he was used to. And so he was thrown into this culture that he knew nothing about. The language was totally different. It would be like maybe a young man here would be working in his father's minibar shop one day. And all at once, these raiders would take over the country. And he would find himself being hauled off to the nearest airport. The airport would have also been overtaken by foreign raiders. He was flown to Dubai, where he was completely unlearned of this culture. A boy from Van Leer taken to Dubai. We'll use that as an example today. The language was totally different. He couldn't understand people. The legal system was different. Their whole economic system was different. It was a culture of power and influence. And you can see this in their buildings and the pride they took in their buildings. All right, so we're going to look a little bit at Babylon. Babylon is situated in Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq, on the Euphrates River, about 56 miles south of present-day Baghdad. So this was located in what we would know today as Iraq. They were a polytheistic society, and they believed in multiple gods, including Marduk, Ishtar, and Enlil. It was a hub for trade, commerce, and cultural exchange. They were advanced in every way, and they were much more advanced than back in Jerusalem. There's a few things that Babylon was known for. One is the ziggurat of Etemenanki. I will leave it at that. A massive temple complex that was dedicated to the god Marduk. So remember, they had multiple gods. It's considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was a step pyramid with seven levels, each level smaller than the last, built using sun-dried bricks and mud. It stood approximately 300 foot tall, making it one of the tallest structures in the ancient world. It's very fascinating that is still going on today. There is competition for who can build the tallest building. There's an ego that goes with that for a nation to see who can build the most impressive structure. And this also applied to them. Another thing that some people think this may not have been there, but I think most people would believe that this actually did happen, and that's called the Hanging Gardens. Allegedly, they were built for Nebuchadnezzar's wife, Amytis, who missed the green hills and valleys of her homeland. The garden was said to be a massive, elevated structure supported by a complex system of arches and aqueducts. A sophisticated irrigation system brought water from the Euphrates River to the top of the structure, creating a lush oasis in the desert. Now, again, talk about high-level technology here. How did these people take water from the river and get it to these heights? They must have come up with some kind of pumping system. Another one is the Temple of Marduk, and I believe that the god of Marduk was the god of Babylon. There was a temple dedicated to this god. There were several courtyards, shrines, and sanctuaries built with sun-dried bricks, glazed tiles, which was a big deal. We'll see that in the gate a little bit later. and cedar wood and was adorned with intricate carvings. I actually missed a slide here. This one right here. I'd like to look at the Ishtar Gate. Ishtar was another god. So this gate was named after the god Ishtar. And it's located in present-day Babel, Iraq. It was dedicated to the goddess Ishtar, adorned with colorful glazed tiles depicting... So they had bulls, they had dragons, they had all manner of things there to present people as they came through the gate. 38 foot high and 100 foot wide. And this represented the power and splendor of Babylon. Now, there's some discrepancies on some of these measurements. And one of them is the walls. So I saw somewhere where they believe the walls around Babylon, which were about 60 miles long. So if you think about 60 miles, that's from here to the other side of Nashville. So the walls around Babylon were about 60 miles long. But the width of them, from what I could find, was there was an inner wall, which was about 20 foot wide, an outer wall, which was about 10 foot wide. And some say this wall was like 300 foot tall. And some would even think it was 80 foot wide. So, not sure on the details. One thing we do know, that this wall was huge. Even if this wall was 100 foot tall, you're talking the height of, is that a silo? Or taller? So even if we say conservative and 100 foot tall for 60 miles and at least 30 foot wide, possibly wider, these people were not ignorant people. They had what we would say today, they had a lot to offer. We wonder sometimes if the world has anything to offer. In terms of worldly things, they had a lot to offer. They were a very advanced society. They were advanced in astronomy. They were the first civilization known to possess a functional theory of the planets. They were very developed in mathematics. And by the way, our clocks have a 60-second, 60-minute system. That came directly from here. That came from Babylon. They had skilled craftsmen such as metal workers, weavers, and potters. And also what's interesting about Babylon, it goes right back to the Tower of Babel. So one thing I want us to think about today, we were not taken in exile to a foreign land. However, DJ talked about this morning. I would dare say, and you may disagree with me, because probably other generations would have said the same thing, but I believe there have been more changes in the world in the last 50 years than any other time in world history. For sure the last 100 years. But I would even say the last 50 years. And so if you took someone who was living, let's even say 100 years ago, and you brought them to today, they would feel like they're in a completely different place. They would not even recognize it. And so society is moving so fast, the world is moving so quick, and we find ourselves surrounded by Babylonian people, in a sense, just like Daniel was here today. And I believe there's things that we can learn from this. Verses 3 through 4, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. And we see in verse 5 the qualifications that were needed there for that. He was looking for competent young men that could be taught. He was looking for young men to benefit himself, the king was. And something that would have been terrifying for me, these young men were in close proximity to the king. And if you at all were disfavored by the king, you were killed very directly. And we see here that in verse 5, it says, so nourish them 3 years, or taught them 3 years. In a sense, they were put through a re-education camp from what they had been used to. Why did the king want them to think like the Babylonians? They were now enrolled in the Babylonian Harvard of universities. They wanted them to be conditioned to think like the people of Babylon. We don't want you to think like your people. We don't want you to have a biblical worldview of truth. We don't want you to think like that. We want you to think like Babylon. Is that happening today? Something else that is very interesting. And that is the meaning of these names. The meaning of Daniel. And names were a really big deal in the Old Testament to God's people. The name of Daniel was, God is my judge. And they gave them new names. And this is why this is significant. Belteshazzar, Daniel's new name. May Bel protect his life. May another God protect his life. Hananiah, God has been gracious, or God's favor. By the way, those of you that are having babies, here's some names, some suggestions for you. Please don't choose the Babylonian names. God has been gracious, or God's favor. Shadrach, protection of the moon god. Mishael, who is like God? Who is like Shaq, or who is like Aku, or their gods? I believe these may have been one of the planets they were worshiping. Azariah, God has helped, or Yahweh has helped. And his new name, protected by the light of Nebo, or another god. So we see here multiple gods, not just one god. That's a beautiful thing about the names of Daniel and his three Hebrews. They all reflect the name of one God. And so they, as part of the conditioning, they wanted them to receive a new name. No more representation of where you came from. Genesis 11:4. So one thing I want us to think about here today is your name. We have a choice today, and that is to allow God to make our name, to make a name for us, or we can choose to make a name for ourselves. Genesis 11:4, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The very next chapter in Genesis 12:2, speaking of Abraham, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Which one would you want? We live in a culture that wants to change our names, that wants to change the names of our children. Not in a literal sense. I think you know what I mean. Verse 8, very important verse. But Daniel purposed, or Daniel resolved in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. I don't know either. I think, Wilson, you're the one that mentioned this. Was it because the meat was offered to idols? Was it because the meat was pork? I'm not sure. But Daniel knew that if he took this meat, he would be defiled. That is what he knew. It's so impressive to me, these young men who were unashamed to stand for the truth. they not only had a good relationship with God, that's very evident, but they were okay with being public about that as well. They were okay to stand up even when it was unpopular. They had the courage to do that. If you've ever noticed, the people who have really made a difference in the world, it's those people who stood for truth and stood on the principles of the scriptures and did not care what other people thought. If you're trying to be a Christian and you're waiting to do that until your peers catch up or until your friends catch up with you, you are wasting your time. And if you do not stand, if you do not stand for truth, and you do not resolve as Daniel did, you are going to get swept away by this culture, guaranteed. If you do not take the initiative and say, I will not do this. I think all of you know what it is that will defile you. You all know what you could do to be defiled. Daniel did. What about this? We can defile ourselves with a few clicks. You can send words of gossip and defile yourself that way with a few clicks. And I'm not here to talk about phones today. That's a whole nother subject. Do you notice all the colors on the screen? Did you know that you can go into your settings and turn this black and white? I would actually encourage you to do that just to see what actually happens. There's a reason all these colors are bright. People are sent to universities to learn how to manipulate your vulnerabilities. And they are taught what grabs you. And the reason when you have a notification and you have a little red bubble on there with a 1 or a 2 or a 3 or however much that is, they know that that will drive you crazy. And they want you to click. YouTube, the reason for the auto view is to keep you there longer. The reason for the YouTube shorts is to keep you there longer. People think this is neutral. It's not. What are the voices that you are listening to? What are the podcasts that you are listening to? I just have a simple question. Is it the voices of Babylon? Is it the conditioning of Babylon? The music that you listen to, does it reflect Babylon or does it reflect the God of heaven? What are we filling our minds with? Another thing that's very interesting here is him and his friends. If you look in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. This dream was driving him crazy. He was ready to kill all his wise men because no one could interpret this dream. And so they come to Daniel, and Daniel didn't know what to do. In Daniel 2, 17 through 19, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. What did Daniel do? He went to his friends, and he told his friends, pray. And then Daniel, I'm sure, prayed himself. It is extremely important that you have friends, godly friends. You will become as the people around you. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 14:7, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Who are your companions? Who are the people you go to when you have a problem? And by the way, it's a whole other thing we could learn here, is when you have a problem, some really good steps is to go talk to your godly friends and talk to God. Great steps to resolve a problem. But who are your friends? Do you have godly friends that you associate with? Who are your companions? If you want to stay strong, you're going to have to get serious and surround yourself with godly people. There's too many people playing games with God. Too many people who are not serious. Another thing we don't have time to go into a lot, and that's this image that the king wanted these men to have. He wanted them to have an image, and so he wanted to feed them this food so they look good and healthy. What about your image? Whose image are you bearing today? I'm going to read something. This is a news article out of the Daily Wire earlier this year. And you may wonder, does this really apply today? These things I was talking about. And there was a court case that happened here in Nashville that I never expected I would see in Nashville. Six pro-lifers and realized, too, that this was wrote at the beginning of this year, that this sentencing has already taken place, I believe. Six pro-lifers, this is in Nashville, were found guilty on Tuesday after the Biden administration charged them over a peaceful protest at a Tennessee abortion facility in 2021. They face up to 10.5 years in prison. The pro-life activists were accused by the Department of Justice of violating the FACE Act and civil rights conspiracy for a protest that took place in a hallway outside of a Mount Juliet abortion provider on March 5, 2021. On that day, a group of demonstrators gathered on the second floor of an office building in the hallway outside the Carafum Health Center Clinic. The group prayed, sang hymns, and urged women showing up to the clinic to not get abortions. Those on trial included Chet Gallagher of Tennessee, Coleman Boyd of Mississippi, Heather Idani of Michigan, Cal Zatstro of Michigan, Paul Vaughn of Tennessee, and Dennis Green of Virginia. All six defendants were found guilty of both counts. They are expected to be sentenced in July. The conspiracy charge can be punished with up to 10.5 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and fines of up to $260,000, while the FACE Act charge can lead to 1 year in prison and a $10,000 fine. Excuse me, $10,000 fine. Is Babylon trying to push something on us? Are they trying to push things on us? And some would say, well, they shouldn't have been there protesting. That's not what Christians do. I have a hard time being critical of this. They were in the hallway singing songs and urging women not to kill their babies. And that was a terrible charge. We are seeing, in the times we're living now, a push. The gods of the American society, and people are worshiping gods all around us, they are trying to force this on everyone else. And it's coming closer to home. I would have never expected to see this in Nashville. I don't say this to bring fear to you. I just use this as an example that we are more and more and more living in a Babylonian culture of I don't want to say a regime, of a government who wants us to think a certain way and wants us to take on their image and wants us to change our names to fit the American society. John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Increasingly, the Christian values are being despised. We are more and more being hated. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Now, I have a question for you. Are you okay with being a stranger in Babylon? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with being different? This past week, I was at Kroger, driving through the parking lot, and I saw two of our young ladies going into Kroger. Wasn't looking for them, didn't know they were there. Instantly, I saw them. Why? Are you okay with being different? I love Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, that word means citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is your citizenship? Abraham, I know these are very common verses, but they are so foundational. Hebrews 11:8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't have the future all figured out. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I believe, some of you have heard me say this, and I believe it. And that is that one of our biggest hindrances, we wonder why we can't bring more people into the church. One of our biggest hindrances to that is because we are embarrassed to be different. We are embarrassed to be identified as Anabaptists. We are embarrassed to be identified with a different people. And people ask us questions and we don't know what to say. I got a text message. I'll read it to you. And this is something that we're going to face in the next 2 weeks. Election day is November the 5th. There is more pressure this election than I think any other before. My brother John said he was two different airports just in the last week, I believe. And people just everywhere are talking about who they're going to vote for. I got a text said, morning, thank you again. I was just going to ask you to pray for and consider voting this year. We got to get the Democrats out of there. I watched Vice President Vance, which he's not really a vice president, and he's a God-fearing man. We need the Republicans back in there, so please, please, I know y'all don't believe in it, but please reconsider. Do you know how to talk to people like that? Are you okay with saying that you're from a different kingdom and a different citizenship? And that you're not a citizen of Babylon. Are you okay with that? I want to close with Hebrews 13, verse 14. Simple verse. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Let's kneel for prayer.